It's How to Kill a Piano. My name's George Tate. Thanks so much for joining us again. These are going to be coming out every 2 weeks on a Monday. I know season one we did this weekly. However, life has changed, times have changed, and our production schedule is a little bit more complex. I am the only one working on these things. I do the piano, I do the writing, I do the recording, I do the editing. So 2 weeks it is. So, without further ado, here's the next chapter of How to Kill a Piano. Chapter 22, Cordiva and Sharon. The universe is made up of many small, cozy little towns, nestled between rolling hills and concrete beanstalks. These were spaces created by those who dared to dream them into being, and those who dreamed of escape. It's in between those spaces that a curious phenomenon haunts the townsfolk who speak in hushed tones about the enigmatic character known as death. But death was not what they expected. Death had many forms, though she preferred a cat most of the time, and called herself Cordiva. Her pure white coat was impossible to miss. Even when she traversed through the darkness, she would glow under the light of the night sky as each star reflected on the tips of each hair on her pure white coat. To the elderly, Death was a retired librarian who spent her days tending to the town's forgotten library. With a kind smile and a soft voice, the librarian would sit with the elderly, reading them their favorite books and sharing stories of far-off lands. When it was their time, she would lead them into a peaceful slumber, and they would pass away with a contented smile. For the young and adventurous, Death took the shape of an infamous pirate captain. She would appear in a swirl of mist, dressed in tattered, weathered clothing. The pirate would challenge them to daring quests full of danger and excitement. The pirate captain would regale those she took on as crew with fantastical stories of far-off lands, and those who completed her challenges were granted long, fulfilling lives. It was said that the spirit of adventure kept them alive, and they would live to tell their tales to generations to come. Those who failed her challenges, however, would be pulled into the waters, falling asleep as liquid filled their lungs, leaving them to dream of their new lives and future mistakes. To artists and dreamers, Death manifested as a mysterious masked figure named Pluto. Pluto was a master of all things creative. She would inspire painters to create masterpieces, musicians to compose symphonies, and writers to pen epic novels, like this one. Most art dies. It's forgotten over time, its meaning left to rot slowly back into the atoms that it was created from. Sometimes, it was twisted into new meanings never intended. Pluto made it their mission that when their creative work was done, she would gently close her eyes and ensure that the artistic legacy would live on for eternity somewhere else. For the children, Death preferred the form of a playful feline companion. She would chase beams of moonlight and pounce on imaginary creatures, captivating the young with her enchanting antics. when a child was nearing the end of their childhood, death would lie beside them, comforting them as they transitioned into adulthood. Almost every child dies before their time by becoming an adult. For the sick and suffering, Cordiva would curl up on their laps, purring softly. Her gentle purring would soothe their troubled hearts, and in the quiet moments, they found peace together. Death had a healing touch, easing their pain and fear. And when the time was right, Cordiva would place a paw on the back of their hand, and they would drift away into a peaceful, painless slumber. In our town, death was not feared. Instead, death was understood as a friend who took on many forms. Guiding each soul on its unique journey, the townsfolk lived their lives with a deep appreciation for the wisdom, adventure, creativity, compassion, and joy that death brought to our world. Cordiva's most profound gift was her ability to guide those who were lost or unsure of their path. She would walk alongside the confused, her tail flicking in the direction they needed to go. With every step they took, clarity would dawn upon them until they found their way forward. As the years passed, the townsfolk learned that death was not the end, but a transition into something new and beautiful. Whether it was the transition from youth to adulthood, from sickness to peace, or from life to whatever comes next, Cordiva was there to guide them gently into that unknown. Where Cordiva acted as comfort for the living, Sharon acted as comfort for the dead. They spent countless ages ferrying the dearly departed across the quiet, watery depths of the in-between, boating them down into their eventual, eternal resting places. Sharon wasn't used to walking any of the surface worlds. On most days, Sharon's existence revolved around fulfilling Cordiva's commands, dutifully carrying out her bidding and ensuring the seamless transition of souls into the afterlife. However, on Halloween, a day when the living and dead intertwined, Sharon found a rare reprieve from the constant grind of their responsibilities. Halloween was the anniversary of the day they met Sarah. It was also the anniversary of the day Sarah started to say goodbye to Charlie. That concludes chapter 22 of How to Kill a Piano. As always, I'm George Tate. This was written by me. The music was played live to tape on my Yamaha electric piano. And you can, of course, reach us at howtokillapiano.com, leave us a message if you'd like, and just stay updated on the general state of this story. Stay tuned, because there are more episodes to come.